I said to the Lord, this week, I don't want to go another week without seeing her face. And, and he brought you. Yes. It's so good to see you. See how good he is. If I'd known it was going to take a desperate prayer like that, I would have done it before. Is this the new baby, Kendall? Okay, I'm sorry, but you have to come up and you have to show everybody. Come, come. Oh, isn't this something? Do we have a mic? Do we have a mic? Isn't she beautiful? Do we have a mic? Oh, look at this. This is too beautiful. She's saying, what are all these fans? Oh, isn't she beautiful? Talk to us about her. Hey there.
Her name is Hannah Noel Davis. And she'll be 3 weeks Sunday. Yeah, 3 weeks Sunday. Seven something, yeah. It's a blur. They had a lot more important things going on. Yeah, she got a lot of hair.
She is beautiful.
Yep. And she's a whaler, so we're calling her intercessor.
She is gorgeous. Well, we're talking about the Lord. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 16. John 16. I just think God is too good. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into... Isn't that exciting? What a promise. That means the Bible can never get boring. Because it's all truth forever. How can a Christian say, you know, when you go to Israel, you see these young men standing at the wall. They've got their Torah in their hand. They're rocking back and forth, quoting the scriptures, meditating on the scriptures. And really and truly, at times, they even go into the spirit of ecstasy. But they don't know Yeshua. But they love the Word. They love to read the Torah. And I think I mentioned to you last week that some of the sages, the old sages, have got greater wisdom than, you know, some of our, I hate to say it, but some of our theologians, our great men of God. And some of these sages don't even know Yeshua, but they spend so much time in the Word. You wonder, how can they know this and not know the Lord? It's amazing to me the way God reveals himself to them. Recently, one of their greatest sages went on to be with the Lord. You say, the Lord? Yes. The Lord started appearing to him, started revealing himself to him, and told him he was Yeshua, their Messiah. So after he had been dead, I can't remember the exact story, but something like after he'd been dead a year, they were allowed to open up an envelope where he literally said, Yeshua is Messiah. The truth-giving spirit comes. He will guide you into all truth, the whole, full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare it to you, the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take of and receive and draw upon what is mine and reveal and declare and disclose, transmit it to you. So tonight we're talking about sweetening the soul to the pure elements of the revelation as to enmesh your soul in the life of the same. If you want to go deep in God, there's only one path. Now, each person's path looks a little different, but the path you put your feet on is the same. You may have protrusions here, you may have, you know, trees sticking out here, you may have obstructions that you have to work through that all look different for each person. But you might say the dirt that you put your feet on is the same path for everybody. And there's only one path, and that is the path of truth. You can't touch the heart of God. You can't touch the depths of God. You can't go into the places that he has created you to go unless you do it on the path of truth. And it is a holy way. It is a holy path. It is a path filled with light you can't see. It is a path filled with grace you can't experience. I mean, you don't even know it's being poured into you. It's filled with the love of God that you may not even recognize for some time. But you know, the longer you stay on that path and the more you allow that path to refine you, to do what it's designed to do, the more of everything in God you will experience. Isn't that exciting? Let's look at Psalm 19. I want to talk to you a little bit about meditating upon the Lord. When I first used to talk to people about meditating on anything, boy, the looks that I would get in the church, that just seemed like the awfulest sin. Meditate on the Bible? That's occultic. People really believe that today. Yes. Let me say it again. People really believe that today. I don't know what they expect you to meditate on. You know, watch your favorite soap opera, I guess, and meditate on what happened to Suzanne.
Or
That's a great scripture. So why is it the church fears it? The only way that you will go into the understanding your heart desires is through meditation. So this scripture she just quoted is right here in front of us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my firm and impenetrable rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth... Let me go one step further. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart align. Let them align. You know the old saying, the old computer saying, garbage in, garbage out, is very true. When you meditate upon the word, let me just ask you a question. When a severe crisis comes that you know only God can resolve, and you've spent all of your time meditating on the things that your favorite programs tell you, what is going to happen to you when the crisis comes? Are you going to draw from the truth that should have been being put in your heart, or are you going to draw from the garbage you've been watching on TV? What we put in ourselves will be added that much more by the Lord. What we put in our mind, what we put in our heart, He will build on and enlarge in our innermost being. This principle is so serious that He said, watch what you hear. Watch what you take in. Because what you take in is what you become. If you're taking in the Word, you will become the Word. If you're taking in all this stuff from society, all this stuff from your computer, you know... People send me articles, I think by the thousands, but it's probably closer to the hundreds. I go into my email, I'm just terrible about it. I go into my email anymore and it says, you're only allowed 5,000 and your thing is full. Your file is full. If I read everything everybody sent to me, I'd never have time for the Lord. I'd never have time for the Word. And, you know, most things I get 9 or 10 times. Something happens and everyone has to... Nita needs to know this. So I get it usually 9 or 10 times. But, you know, most things that you get... The most things that are compiled in these very important articles are man's thoughts about what is going on in the world. I know one man wrote on the Palestinian issue and what happened at the UN when Netanyahu gave his message. I got this article 10 times. And I read just a few lines. And in the first few lines of his letter, everything he says about what happened at the UN didn't happen. I can promise you, I heard the speech. And what he said transpired is not what transpired. So here is a Christian man who is deep into the things of Israel, has a pretty good grip on things that are going on, I think. And yet he's talking about this speech, and he forgets, you know, that probably half the world could have heard that speech, and he's sending out to the church his opinion, and everything he's saying is not true. So why do I want to know what man is saying about what is happening? Well, that's the way it looks sometimes. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is this. The angel of the Lord came and took me up into the heavens. He shared many things with me. I was taken up into literally a ring of angels. And I hovered up there with them, hearing everything I was instructed to hear by this most glorious angel. After he said everything he wanted to say, he looked up toward the Father, up toward the higher heavens. And he said, and then he looked back at me and he said, and the Father wants you to know, it's not what man determines that matters, but what God determines. So you don't have to take in the news that man is giving about what's happening. Look to God. I thought that was a good piece of advice, don't you? So that's what I started to do. Of course, I'd already been spending many, many hours a day in prayer, but it was with a different focus, a different emphasis. I quit looking to what man was saying they were going to make happen, or so on and so forth. Or even in this case, what has happened. I don't want to hear what man thinks about what has happened. I want to hear about what God thinks, because that's what matters in the earth. Amen? So even when you think you're hearing truth, beware. That's the whole point of what I'm trying to say to you. Don't meditate on the words of men. Don't meditate on what man is saying. Even on the most important news, attune your ear to what God is saying. Because what he's saying about what is happening is where you're going to walk in the days ahead. So if you don't know what he's saying, how are you going to know what path you need to be on? Or where you need to be? When the things that God is thinking begins to come to pass. So we want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to align themselves with one another. In other words, what is coming out of your mouth needs to be what you're meditating on. And if you're meditating on the word, what is going to come out of your mouth is going to be the thoughts that God has rather than the thoughts that men have about what is happening. Amen? Amen. Let's look at Psalm 104. Now, I'm really going someplace here because you want to know how to walk with God. Is that right? Yes. Everyone that's here, raise your hand if you want to know how to walk with God. The things that I'm saying to you are so very important. They're so critically important. Psalm 104, verse 34. May my meditation be sweet to him. As for me, I will rejoice in the Lord. And then let's go to Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I have better understanding and deeper insight than all my teachers, because your testimonies are my meditation. When I meditate upon His Word, and I'm really earnest to understand what is written about the things that I'm reading, I say, really earnest, my heart is breaking to know, longing to know. It is at those times that Jesus will stop everything and appear to me, take my Bible in His hand, and He will teach me His Word. I have learned that if I wait and depend on man to teach me God's Word, He's not going to teach me what God wants me to know. But when the Lord Himself sees a heart that is so hungry to know truth, so hungry that they have prepared themselves for truth. I didn't think to go here, but let me just go here for just a second. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower. The sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. Now, these are the ones that are where the word has been sown, the seed has been sown along the path. Why is Satan able to come and pluck the seed up off the surface of the soil? It's because the heart is hard. In Fresno, California, where I live so many years, we have a soil that we call hardpan soil. That soil is so hard that you have to dynamite, literally dynamite through it. You can't, rain will just sit on the surface of it. You can't plant anything on it. About the only two trees that can live in it is the olive tree and the fig tree. Isn't that interesting? The heart that has not been treated by the quest for truth and the purification of meditating upon the Word, seeking the Lord in prayer, learning how to let the Spirit discern the Word to you, you know, by invitation, by purification, by fellowship, by revelation. Their hearts are hard. And so the seed will stay on the surface of the ground like water on hardpan. The seed cannot penetrate, the roots cannot go down. So the enemy comes and he plucks up the seed. So that the person who had received it and was joyful is now offended at the word. The very word they loved last night, they are now offended at. So let's go down further. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves, so they endure for a little while. Then, when trouble, persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended and become displeased, indignant, resentful. And what happens? They may not fall away from the faith, but they will fall away from the truth that they have been given. Therefore, they cannot grow. They hear the word again and again and again, but because their hearts are stony, they have not prepared the way to receive the truth. They hear it again and again and again, but it dies. It cannot accomplish what God has desired for it to accomplish. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, then the cares and the anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasures and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creeps in and chokes and suffocates the word, and it becomes fruitless. What are these? The cares, the anxieties, the distractions. How many of you get distracted? The distractions of the age, the pleasure and the delight and the false glamour, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, your computer becomes a distraction. Your cell phone becomes a distraction. Today, that's really easy because they put so much stuff on it. Your iPads become a distraction. You can even let Christian books become a distraction. Christian television, Christian radio can become a distraction. You like to shop. That can become a distraction. It is amazing the things that Christians will allow to come into their life and distract them from the far more important, which is life in the Word and life in prayer. Now, God doesn't expect you to be in prayer and in the Word every minute. I'm not trying to say that. He knows what your life is full of. He knows what the real needs are. He knows the demands that are upon you, but he does want you to grow, and he wants you to develop. Some people can be Christians for 25 years, and they're still babes in the eyes of God because they've never paid the price to grow. In fact, they don't want to grow. Why? Because it's too hard. It's too hard. They don't want to give up what they have to give up to grow. They don't want, you know, the seed bed of their soil to be what it needs to be so that it can be protected from all of these things. The cares and the anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things. Listen to this. The craving and passionate desire for things. For things. Seeps in. And it suffocates the word. It destroys the word. And the word becomes fruitless. On the other hand, oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day, no longer meditating about the cares and the anxieties of the world, the things that you can buy, the distractions of the age, but your law is my delight. This is where I spend my time. And because I do, I have better understanding and deeper insight than all my teachers, because your testimonies are my meditation. We meditate all day long. Every one of us meditates all day long. What are you meditating on? Stop and think throughout the day the thoughts that are going through your mind. Where are you stuck? What are you meditating on? You have to begin to train your mind to hunger for the things of God, to reject the cares and the anxieties and the distractions and the things that keep you distracted from Him. Train yourself. You cannot go into union except on the path of truth. When you turn the television on and you sit down and you watch it, are you sure everything you're getting is truth? How many ministers on that television set are more interested in your love gift than they are in the truth they should be feeding you? I hate to say that to you, but it's true. It's true. How many ministers have fallen in the last 2 decades? How many ministers are going to fall because their lives don't line up with the word they say they live by? Are you sure everything you're getting is truth? Your heart must be set upon Christ, not upon man. Any man, any woman. It must be any man, any man, any woman. Your heart must be set upon Christ. People can lead you astray. Sometimes they mean to lead you astray. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just go astray because they have not kept their heart pure with truth. Meditating on the truth. I'll tell you why most people stay away from the Bible. Because the Bible says that those who love their darkness will not come to the light. So they don't spend the time in the Word because they don't want the conviction of the Word. They don't want the light to penetrate the darkness that they are embracing. Don't be one of those. If you want Christ, go after Him. Spend the time meditating upon the Word. I say to the Lord, what does this mean? Lord, what when you wrote it through your human agent, what did you mean by it? What were your thoughts? What should I believe about this passage that is not necessarily clear to the eyes? What should I believe about what you've written? These are the kinds of questions I ask him. And it's amazing how many times he will pick me up, turn me around, and teach me the truth about his truth, which was different than I at first thought it was. Perhaps because I had been taught wrong myself, or perhaps because I wasn't mature enough to be able to receive the deeper meaning of his word. That's why he says we have the Spirit, the unction, that will teach us his word. If we will hunger for his word, if we will hunger for his truth, what can change you into the image of Christ? The Bible tells us, by the renewing of our mind. You're not going to renew your mind by reading books. It's true. The Word has power. The Word has power. It has spirit and life. Many of the books that Christians read have none of that. Even the Word that they give you is milk. I can remember a dream I had, and I won't go into a lot of detail about it, but I saw these people all over this hospital. They were laying all over the floors. Everywhere you looked, there was people. And they were all laying on books. And all the books were written the milk of the word. You know, they were using the word to, how can I say this? The books were more about their stories supported by the Word, giving the milk of the Word to the people. And these people, the beds were this kind of Christian books, the milk of the Word. That's what they were sleeping on. And they were filled with inner pain. They were filled with physical pain. They were suffering so much. And I kept asking, what is wrong with these people? Why aren't they getting healed? Why isn't their soul getting healed? Why isn't their body getting healed? And my guide finally said, because their bed is these books. They're Christian books. But this is their bed. Only the meat of the Word can heal the soul. So the Word becomes our meditation. And it becomes our meditation. It becomes our thought. It becomes our prayer. Because we love it. And as we love it. And if you don't have a love for it, ask God to give it to you. When you read it, every time you read it, ask the Lord to fill you with a love for His Word. The more you read it, the more you'll love it. The more you love it, the more you'll read it. Amen? The more you read it, the more you'll love it. The more you will crave it. Your spirit will begin to be awakened and crave the Word. And as you're in the Word, crave the truth from the Word. The law came through Moses. But grace and truth came through. So you want truth. You want God to give you the spirit of truth. You want Him to feed your soul with the life of truth from His Word to enable you to grow, to change your thoughts, the way you think, the way you see things. I'm going to tell you the truth. And, you know, you may think, oh, I don't believe that. But please believe it. More people get upset with me all the time because I tell them truth and they don't recognize it. They don't really want the truth. And so they get offended with the truth giver. I go through it all the time. Your soul has to be prepared for truth. You can't, you know, much of the truth that comes from the Word of God, you can't put on the soul of hard rock, or you can't put on the soul of a babe. They couldn't recognize it even if they wanted to. But people get offended with me all the time for simply telling them truth. And I can promise you they get offended with the Lord all the time for the same reason. Our hearts have to be prepared for truth. That's why the Bible says, prepare ye the way. Prepare ye the way. Prepare ye the way for the Lord. We have to prepare our hearts. And part of the way we prepare, I was thinking this afternoon as I was in prayer and thinking about what I was going to, how I was going to hopefully share what was on the Lord's heart with this message. And I began to meditate on what happens when I seal myself away. I may have Christian music turned down low. I may not. But I seal myself away in prayer and in the Word. And as I'm in the Word and I'm in prayer, meditative prayer, perhaps praying in the Spirit, perhaps praying over issues, but I'm in prayer. I may have, you know, soft Christian music playing. I'm in the Word. It seems like everything around me, the environment becomes pure. You know, it seems like the very air you breathe is becoming pure, more pure, purer still, more pure. The longer you're in that environment, the longer you are saturating your soul with the Word, with prayer, with worship, it seems like the very air you breathe is becoming more and more pure. The atmosphere is becoming more and more pure until you know you're in the very presence of God. Then something comes in, interrupts the flow, and what happens? It's like purity has been invaded. Yes. Have you ever gone through that? Yes. When you prepare your heart for truth, that environment, that atmosphere that you're feeling gets planted in your heart, where the roots can go and grow and secure the truth God wants to give you and the truth you hunger for, the truth you need to make you strong. Without it, you cannot grow. Say that. Without it, you cannot grow. Let's look at 101 for a moment. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying it. This scripture says everything I'm trying to say to you. When you restrain your feet from the things of the world, you won't watch the television. You don't spend time on the computer. You know, what you have to get on the computer for, you do and you get off. You don't make it your resting place. If I were you, I'd put your cell phone away. Take it with you only when you absolutely have to have it. Because that becomes so addictive so fast, you lose your touch with God easily and quickly. I can remember the first time I took a group with me to Israel, and the place that we had to meet, the gal we were going to meet that was living in Israel, it was a very difficult place to find. So one of the pastors was sitting in the front seat, and we're thinking, this was before GPS days, and we're thinking, how are we going to find this girl's address? No one seemed to have directions there. I thought that was very intelligent of all of us. How are we going to find her? And he said, well, let's pray, and we'll see if God tells us, speaks to us. So we started heading down into Jerusalem from the freeway. He said, I think we need to turn here. So we did. We keep driving. You know, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, it's like one of the most complicated places in the world to drive. We drive. He said, wait. We have to turn right here. He's feeling it, see? And this is how he guides us in to her place where she's staying. We get to the place where she's staying, and she's living in a place that is a gated community. And I can see the gate, and the gate is closed. And I said, okay. So we're here, but we can't get in. And just then, a car drives through and opens the gate for us. So there we are at this place without a GPS, but the guidance of the Spirit. We want to learn to hear His voice. We want to learn how to perceive when He's speaking to us intuitively. You know, we don't need to hear the loud clamor. Elijah, being a prophet, was so used to the loud, clamorous voice of God that when, you know, when the hurricane or the tornado came and God wasn't in that, and the fire came and God wasn't in that, he's sitting back and saying, okay, well, where are you? I mean, this is the way I've always heard you. But the Bible then says, how did he speak to him? Still, I love that word, still. Small voice. So Elijah came to understand that although God typically speaks to him in these massive, incredible encounters, he loves to speak to him in the still, small voice, and he identified that as well. Do you? Or does he have to speak to you big to get you to understand what he's saying? And when he does speak, how quickly do you move? How quickly do you change? How quickly do you let his voice become the new source of life in you? These answers will determine how long it takes God to purify you. The Bible says that he leads the blind in a way they know not. I love that passage because it is so true for our Christian faith. He leads us in the way we don't know. It's not familiar to us. We're blind in this path. It's scary because it's unfamiliar. It may seem even very dark with seemingly little or no communication from the Lord. But he's leading the blind by the way they know not. Why? Why does he do this? This is a lot of our Christian life. Why does he do it this way? He is establishing dependency. Dependency, which builds trust. When we start feeling very uncomfortable with our surroundings, if we really want God, what do we do? What do we do? We pray. That's the first thing he wanted. He wanted prayer. We're praying now. Our spirit is active. And he can begin to communicate to our spirit. When he communicates to our spirit, he is pouring in us grace, enhancing our faith, our capacity to trust. But what is he building it all on? Dependency. You know, if you went out yesterday and broke your leg, what is the next thing they do? They put you on crutches. And immediately, your dependency is changed from your own feet to the crutches. Am I right? I mean, if your foot or leg is like really damaged, you're not running on that cast. You are learning the painful dependency of being on crutches. And it's the same thing with the Spirit of God. When you're going in a new way, a new path, one you haven't walked before, you're learning dependency because something is broken. And if it isn't broken, he's breaking it. Do you know what that something might be? Your flesh. And you can hear the cracking. Yeah, ouch. You can hear it. And the dependency is really scary, isn't it? You don't like the feel of the crutches. You have to walk funny with the crutches. It even hurts to walk with crutches. How many of you have ever had to walk with crutches? It's not a fun thing. God wants to break the power of your flesh, the power of your soul that keeps you from being able to discern the voice of His Spirit, the way of His Spirit. That's why He takes you through this darkness. In my life, when that darkness gets really strong and I've got voices clamoring at me in every which direction, I'm walking every minute saying, God, take over the reins. Take over the reins. Teach me your way here. Teach me how not to fail here. Teach me your thoughts about this. I don't understand this way. Teach me your thoughts about this. Help me perceive and understand how you're thinking about this, what you're feeling about this. And I pray that way until He speaks. And what has He been doing? Developing dependency. Dependency on Christ will destroy the sovereignty of your flesh. And by this means, He can provide a way for you to come into the life of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, it starts with your life in the Word, meditating on the Word, talking to God about His Word. I used to go into all of the, you know, the Strong's concordances, the lexicons, and read everything, and documentaries, read everything that all of them say that a word means. But when you do it as many times as I've done it, and you have the Lord come to you when you least expect it and say, that's not what this means, let me show you what it means. Let me teach you what it means. And He takes me off into the Spirit and teaches me what it means. You just lose your dependency on these things. Because what you really want is truth. You want to know what truth is. Amen? It's not just for me, it's for you too. God wants to give that to you. It's just that it takes time and it takes purity. It takes refinement. It's not the fastest way to get what you think the meaning of the word is. It's slower. So you have to learn to be patient. Your hunger really determines how patient you will be. If you're not really hungry, you will not be patient. You will not wait for Him to tell you the true spiritual meaning. You will go to the books. You will go to the documentaries. And you may be getting the highest and best, and you may not. Probably you're not. Oh, He's putting something inside of me right now. But if you're really hungry, really hungry, you will come to that table and you will sit. If it takes you 40 days to get the answer, one of the most powerful visitations I have ever had from Jesus Christ came when He came to explain to me a scripture I had been meditating on and asking for the deeper meaning of for 2 years. I had gone to all the books. I had gone to everything I could get my hands on. There was such a passion in my heart to know the truth about that passage. And when He came and showed me what it really meant, I was flabbergasted. I was floored. I was in awe. I was astounded. I was broken. I was broken. I was broken by truth. I wept for 3 days. I was broken by truth. No Strong's Concordance will ever give you that, although Strong's is very good. But it will never give you the brokenness. It can't. It's a book. It takes the Spirit of God to break you. Remember, several months ago I told you, truth has got to create a surgical procedure in your heart. He has to create a cleavage in your soul with the truth so that the seed can go into the soil and take root. If you're not, and what it produces is a brokenness, a divine love for the truth that He's just given you. Every time He speaks to me and teaches me truth in this way, I will weep for days. Some things He has told me 20 years ago, today, even today, I can't talk about it without crying. Because He created the cleavage in my soul, the brokenness that He needs to let His truth transform me. I can tell you the same thing, and it will not do for you what He did when He gave it. Because you have to be the husbandman. You have to prepare your soul. You have to be willing to give up the things of the world, the ways of the world, in order to have this beautiful surgery by the Spirit of the living God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Do you appreciate it?
Yes.
Seek it.
Yes.
With all of your heart, seek it. I want your word to break me. I tell him that all the time. I want the life that breaks my heart so that your word can become one with my own heart, with my own soul. Break me by your word. It is a beautiful process. When he creates that cleavage in your soul, your heart is so filled with love, divine love, the fear of the Lord, respect for Him, for the truth He's just opened to you. It's like a mother having a baby, giving birth to a baby. What has that baby done? There's been a cleavage created. Is this the word I want? I think it is. There's been, you know, a slicing open of the womb. The baby comes forth, and what does a mother do? She lays there. She's weeping. She's filled with emotion. She sees this beautiful thing laying in her arms. She feels so much love, so much protection. She wants to honor this little baby that she's just given birth to. I can't imagine what would happen if someone tried to hurt that baby that just came out of her womb. When God has created this, I don't know if there's a better word. For some reason, a better word is not coming to me. But has created this cleavage in your soul to plant this precious truth. You will love it with divine love. It will break you with a weeping of divine love. You will have the fear of the Lord over that truth. You will have respect unto that truth. You will have a mother's desire to protect that truth. From someone else? No. From your own sinful ways. This is the way to be taught of the Lord. This is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the way to be transformed by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not coming into a worship service and Jesus, you know, touches you and you feel the love of the Lord and the joy and it feels so wonderful. That doesn't transform you. Although it is important. It is important. But that is not what changes the wickedness of your soul. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It takes the surgical work of the Spirit to do it. You know, people pick up, and I personally love the book, but I can't remember his name right now, but, you know, yes. I think it's probably my favorite, what do you call those kind of books? Devotional book. I think it's my favorite because his message is so strong. It's meat. And he expects you to live by what he teaches. I just love it. But it cannot do what the Spirit of the Lord does through his word. This is what you need to love. The day is coming. The day is coming. I've seen it. You will drive down the street. The church will be burned. The Bible store will be burned. You will drive down the street some more. The church has been wrecked. You turn the corner, the Bible store has been burned. If you have not learned to depend on God through this word and by his Spirit, what are you going to do? I'm telling you the truth, aren't I? You know it in your heart. Get strong, my brothers and sisters. Get strong by breaking your dependency on the things of the world and turning to the ways of Christ. Not just to read, but become the truth you read. Amen. Okay, Kevin. Let's just stand for a moment.